Several black communities in Florida say they're not getting the federal aid and attention white communities are in the wake of Hurricane Ian. And that's sadly nothing new. Studies show that poor and black communities have historically fared less well after disasters. People of color are also more likely to live in areas of environmental contamination. In 1983, the Government Accounting Office found 3 out of 4 hazardous waste landfill sites were in communities of color. In 1987, the UCC, the United Church of Christ, released a landmark report on racial justice, showing race to be the biggest predictor of where hazardous waste facilities were located. So the announcement last month by EPA head Michael Regan of a new Office of Environmental Justice and Civil Rights was received with excitement, but also skepticism. Some people have been here before. Marianne Engelman-Lotto is among those named to head the new agency. She's acting deputy principal administrator of the new office and joins us by Skype. Welcome.
Thanks for your attention to this important issue.
Well, and it's not new to you. As I alluded to, there are people who are skeptical and some have been critical, and so have you in the past. I mean, your 2019 paper was titled No More Excuses, Building a New Vision of Civil Rights Enforcement in the Context of Environmental Justice, which is what we're talking about now. First of all, you know, there are people who are still questioning this. They're calling this racial environmental justice conspiracies. Just briefly make the case that this is the thing that so many people know it is.
Robin, as you mentioned, there's research going back to the 1980s, which has confirmed what people around the country know to be true, that there are some communities that have a concentration of polluting sources. These communities are disproportionately communities of color, indigenous communities, and low-income white communities.
And we know the announcement of this new office by EPA head Michael Regan, who is black, and who grew up by that rural site in North Carolina of a 1982 fight against a toxic waste dump, 6 weeks of protests, 500 arrests. We remember, you know, black residents who were sick of living next to this dump, locking arms and being arrested. But Marianne, what do you say to people who say, but wait a minute, so many administrations, the Clinton administration, the Obama administration, have tried to address this. There have been past offices of environmental justice. Why is this different?
From day one, the president signed key executive orders that called on all agencies to commit themselves to pursuing equity and to integrating equity, environmental justice, and civil rights in all that we do. And the administrator, Michael Regan, has charged us with not only strengthening environmental justice and civil rights, but building it in, as he would say, into the DNA of the agency.
Give us some examples of that.
Well, I'll start with civil rights. EPA has been criticized time and again for needing a more robust civil rights program. So we have taken that to heart and are reforming the program. That means working on new guidance documents to make clear what the standards are, to provide transparency. We've put our docket online so people can have access to information. It shouldn't be behind a locked door. And to include links so people can get materials. We've opened the first ever compliance review. We've reviewed our procedures and have made public a new procedure for identifying where we should focus agency resources. And this translates into change on the ground. We're working with states and other partners to make sure that they understand their civil rights obligations. So this is a soup to nuts change in civil rights compliance and enforcement in the environmental sector.
Well, okay, but just jogging through some of the history of this. In 2015, the EPA was sued for unreasonably delaying and unlawfully withholding agency action on what you're talking about for more than a decade. And at that time, they said that states getting EPA funding were discriminating against low-income communities of color by giving more permits to polluting facilities. What else is going to be different?
Well, as an aside, I was one of the attorneys that brought suit against EPA about its civil rights program. And we've taken that to heart. And we're committed to strengthening our program to address these needs that have been out there for so long. The timing of this couldn't be better. because while we're launching this new program, we also have the Inflation Reduction Act, which has provided EPA with $3 billion to support the fair treatment and meaningful involvement of all people.
Well, first of all, I want to comment on something you said. You said all people. There's no question that neighborhoods of color are disproportionately affected by living right next to toxic waste sites or superhighways, but also, you know, poor whites are affected as well. I'm thinking of Cancer Alley in Louisiana. I remember talking to a 13-year-old white boy who was taking this up as a cause in the 1990s because his brother had died of a cancer that everyone felt was directly related to unregulated industrial pollutants in that area. So it's an issue of poverty as well as color.
Yes, and from the very beginning of the environmental justice movement, it was central to recognize that both race and income play a role in the disproportionate siting and disproportionate exposure to pollution.
Who will get money, billions of dollars? How will that be given out?
When we talk about that $3 billion, we're talking about the environmental and climate justice block grants, which will go to communities with environmental justice concerns all across the country. Many communities have been concerned that they need data to back up their experience. And so this will provide additional assistance to those communities and to other communities that have wanted to access air monitoring systems. Other communities may be living near toxic sites will be able to access grants to do assessments, grants to perhaps organize themselves to play a role in state environmental justice activities. Communities know best what they need.
Lots of excitement about that. Marian Engelman-Lotto, Acting Principal Deputy Assistant Administrator of the EPA's new Office of Environmental Justice and Civil Rights. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.